their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
Dr. Olivia Yates is a research assistant at the University of Auckland and a research advisor at World Vision. She is also the co-author of a recently published report and policy brief, Preparing for Climate Mobility from Tuvalu and Kiribati to Aotearoa, which explores what more needs to be done to improve pathways for climate migrants to Aotearoa. Olivia and I had a korero about her research and what the future of climate migration to Aotearoa could look like. What do pathways for climate migrants into Aotearoa currently look like?
So that's essentially a non-question because there are not really any formal pathways for people to migrate to New Zealand for climate reasons. Essentially, both globally and domestically, there are no climate-related migration pathways that provide people with sort of the legal aspects of a visa and all of the required support. But as our research, it was part of my PhD at the University of Auckland, talks about essentially people are migrating through our existing immigration schemes as a way of migrating for reasons related to climate change. And so in particular, it might be our Pacific Access category and our recognised seasonal employer scheme, both of which are tailored to Pacific migration.
Are we already seeing large amounts of people migrating due to the impacts of climate change on their homes?
Yeah, globally, yes. But typically, the migration is internal and transient. In other words, a disaster might strike, people relocate to another town or another location and then come back home again. So on a global scale, people are moving. Regionally, within the Pacific, not on a large scale at all. In some situations, people are relocating within their homeland. So, for example, further uphill, or if, for example, might move a little bit more inland if they're exposed to erosion or flooding. When we talk about cross-border migration, which was the topic of our research and policy brief, it really is in the rare situation. We're not seeing sort of these waves of migrants coming to New Zealand because of climate change, as I think there's kind of a fear-mongering aspect behind that, and it's not really shown in evidence and also anecdotally. Some people are coming, just a handful or so, but that is projected to increase in the future as the full effects of climate change take hold.
Could you explain your report's recommended three-prong approach for improving Aotearoa's climate migration pathways?
So the first recommendation that comes out of our research is essentially the need for a formal pathway to immigration for reasons related to climate change. And so that comes off the bat of looking at how community members navigate existing immigration systems and the barriers that they encounter. And some of those barriers really just stem from the fact that our immigration system is not currently able to support people migrating because of climate change. So there, specifically, that part of our proposal is about reforming our existing immigration policies, looking at our PAC and RAC scheme. How can we better place dignity at the heart of those policies? But also a little bit beyond that, how do we project into the future to make sure that we're prepared for when migration does increase, so that we do have some kind of pathway to migration, which is specific to climate change and meets the needs that are unique to this particular situation. So that's the first kind of element of our policy brief. The second one is that we need essentially to create space for community members to regrow their roots of connection. So one of the key threats related to climate change is that countries like Tuvalu or like Kiribati might ultimately lose their statehood. In other words, they might no longer be able to be countries because sea level rise has happened to the point at which there's no actual land upon which people can live. But connected to this really complex legal space is the more, I guess, visceral feeling of what happens when you can no longer return home to your homeland. How do you maintain culture? How do you maintain language? And we've seen here in New Zealand, community members from Tuvalu and Kiribati are making a real concerted effort to support and maintain cultures and languages throughout generations. But there is a need for our government to strengthen the support of these activities. So, for example, it's boosting funding for language-based activities, for cultural maintenance. It's creating opportunities for young people to, for example, go to tertiary education, get jobs that might be able to continue to support their communities, that kind of thing. So that's that second component. It's around supporting communities to regrow roots. And the final one is around focusing on New Zealanders' preparedness and awareness of climate mobility generally. So another aspect of our research looked at what New Zealanders' attitudes are towards climate migration. And generally we found there's a lack of awareness about the topic. It's really complex. It's interconnected with other forms of migration, and there's a lot of myths going around about who will migrate and when. And so we're advocating for the New Zealand government to start planning ahead and think about how it might put in place, both in our education systems but also more broadly across society, an information raising scheme, a communication strategy that makes sure that when people do start to come to New Zealand in slightly higher numbers, that New Zealanders are aware of what's going on, that we're really open-minded and are willing to welcome people into our communities and into our homes instead of feeling like this is a threat to our jobs or to our income. Yeah, so the three points were around reshaping our immigration scheme, funding for community members to regrow roots, and then support New Zealanders to know and understand more about climate migration.
Have we had much discourse surrounding climate migrants during this election?
I actually don't think there's been any. There's been offhand remarks about sort of climate refugees as a way of stressing the impact of climate change in the Pacific and for our Pacific neighbours. But it's not a key election issue. And I think that's partly because climate change itself hasn't really been on the forefront of the election space. But also just because I don't think the conversations around climate mobility internationally are also at the forefront of people's minds. And we might see that change in the future, but I think right now the key thing is that we start driving the conversations around this already so that we don't leave the door open for people to sort of assume what's going on, that when it does come into the public space, New Zealanders are ready, we know the topic, we know the key ideas, and we're not likely to be afraid of what we don't know.
Some might argue that we should be investing more in helping Pacific Islands cope with climate change and adapt to the conditions. Is it too late for this?
No, 100% not too late. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they say that we do still have a window to keep global temperature rises to within 1.5 degrees. Since before industrial times, but that window is narrowly closing. And essentially right now is our opportunity to take the challenge of climate change seriously, both in New Zealand and also around the world, to decrease our emissions, to ensure that our Pacific neighbours actually can stay on their homelands and adapt. And I think the approach that we're advocating for is not either or, but both and. In other words, we have a responsibility here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, to support our Pacific neighbours, both because we are massive polluters, but also because we have this really complex relationship with the Pacific and relationship to our whakapapa, our connections between Māori and our Pacifica whānau, but also the fact that New Zealand's had a role in colonisation and the fact. And so we have an obligation there to support our Pacific neighbours, to stay and adapt as much as possible, to invest in climate finance so that they can build an infrastructure that can support them to stay in place. But we also need to start thinking about this like last resort, that we make sure that people do have the ability to choose when, if, and how they're going to migrate, that if the time comes they can say, well, yes, okay, we've done our best, we've tried to adapt, and now we know that there are safe pathways open to us and that we can come to another country and we're going to be welcomed like we have our dignity.
That was Dr. Olivia Yates speaking to me about the future of climate migration to Aotearoa.